My Taste with Tenzan Saki Brewery Company. Brought to you by Bibendum Wine with Jazz FM.
Hello and welcome to My Taste, our programme that aims to expand and improve your knowledge of food and drink through the perspective of chefs, restaurateurs and wine experts. I'm Ben McCormack from squaremeal.co.uk, and today I'm talking to Claudio Cardosa, executive chef at Sushi Samba in the City of London, and cooks a mixing pot of Japanese, Peruvian and Brazilian cuisine. Claudio, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, you grew up in South Africa, which is a country that in Britain we obviously know for its fantastic wines, but I think it's probably fair to say that we know much less about the food culture in South Africa. When you were growing up, what kind of food was surrounding you?
Well, South Africa is very multicultural. Like, it doesn't have a food history, a little bit like Britain. It has very little food that you can say that are traditional. So obviously you find a mix of every country that went to colonize South Africa. So you have a mix of Greek, Portuguese, Arabic, Hindu. Like, you have a mix of different food, obviously Americanized as well, a lot of English kind of food as well going on.
And were those things that you'd be eating at home?
Well, my father's Portuguese, so I would have a lot of the Portuguese influence as well at home.
When you were 15, you moved to Portugal to do a degree in restaurant management. Once you'd graduated, you took a job at Midori, which is the oldest Japanese restaurant in Portugal. That might seem like an unusual choice for a chef from South Africa. What led you to Japanese cuisine?
Well, I started when I was 15 with study, and I was working at the same time. And at the age of 22, I was already a head chef. But at that point, I think I was doing a good job, but my passion was always to learn the Japanese technique, the precision. So I went from head chef to Akami to Midori just to learn Japanese cuisine. And it had to do with passion, the style of cooking, the technique. As I said before, the precision is really important for a chef to gain that.
Sushi Samba's way up high in the Heron Tower in the city. It's the 38th floor. This isn't your first experience, though, of working in a tall building. You were the chef who opened the restaurant at the Armani Hotel in the Burj Khalifa, which is the highest building in the world in Dubai. Could you tell us a little about that?
Sure. I was part of the opening team for the Armani Hotel. Obviously, we open as well the Burj Khalifa, the building itself, not obviously apart from the hotel. It was a very interesting experience. It's one of the most luxurious hotels in the world, if not the most. Very different in approach. The building itself and the structure is very impressive.
Dubai seems to be one of those places now, almost like Paris and France used to be, where top chefs have to spend some time. Was it an enjoyable period of your life?
It is a very different city. It was hard work. When you're doing an opening, you're kind of not enjoying what the city has to offer, but obviously you end up enjoying a part of it. It was an enjoyable part of my experience as a chef. But as I said before, it is a tough country when you're doing an opening because of the hours, because of the weather itself. It is kind of demanding for your body.
One of your mottos is challenge everything. Was your decision to go into Japanese food, was that part of challenging everything?
Yes. In general, like, I'm always trying to challenge myself. I don't keep myself not occupied. I try to read a lot. I try to always be involved in too many things. So sleeping was never a part of my day-to-day routine.
Sushi Samba has a very interesting mix of cultures. The clue's there in the name. It's sushi, it's samba. Mm-hmm. It's not just Japanese food, it's also Brazilian and Peruvian cooking as well. And those aren't three cuisines that perhaps people would naturally put together.
Sure.
What's the thinking behind that combination?
Well, we call it Nikkei. Nikkei is the name that applies for the Japanese immigrants' food out of Japan, so in South America mainly, Lima and São Paulo, which is one of the biggest communities of Japanese out of Japan. So what we do is obviously the blend of those three cultures, going back to the origin of Japan, but the influence that they had in Peru and Brazil.
I think at Sushi Samba you import Japanese charcoal for the grill, is that right?
That's correct. Our charcoal, it's called Binchutan. It's a Japanese charcoal that gives a different aroma to the cooking. It lasts longer when it burns, and it kind of caramelizes differently the protein.
So that's a real dedication to authenticity, I think.
True.
You're also one of the few restaurants that's been approved by the Japanese government to sell Kobe beef. Could you tell us a little about that?
it was a process to kind of get it. It is important to, again, make people realize what is Kobe. A lot of people sell in their restaurants as
Kobe. Well, you see Wagyu beef often on menus, and I think perhaps people think Kobe beef and Wagyu beef are interchangeable terms, but that's not correct, is it?
It's not correct at all. Wagyu is the word that kind of talks about Japanese meat. Kobe is a region, a little bit like champagne, a little bit like port wine. It is the region, so it's the marked areas where it's produced. But what people sometimes tend to do is, because Kobe is a word that kind of sells better, they will replace the word Wagyu on their menus for Kobe.
And it's known as the caviar of beef. Can you tell us why Kobe beef is so special?
Well, it is very historical. There was a lot of time put into, like everything else that the Japanese do. They dedicated time, longevity, to a process to achieve the best quality meat in the world, and that's what makes a difference from any other meat.
Are the rumors about the cows being fed this diet of beer and being massaged by hand and being the happiest cows in the world, really, is that true?
It is true in some farms. Not all of them do that, but it has a lot to do with the fare, like the sake, and massage with the sake has a lot to do with, for example, having flies around their body and stressing the cows. So it is part true.
And how do you serve the Kobe beef?
Well, we have on the menu certain items from the grill, ishiyaki with hot stones, and you can cook it yourself. We have tiraditos as well, but we do every month a Kobe week. So every month, third week of every month, we have a menu specialized with reduced prices so everyone can try.
The reduced prices, I imagine, are important because it's obviously a luxury ingredient and it often comes at luxury prices. So sure. It's terrific that you're offering a more affordable way to experience this.
True. And what we try to do is grab what's in season. So what would be the vegetables that would be cheaper, and kind of introduce the Kobe. And as well, trying to understand that probably not even 1% of the population ever tried Kobe. So we're trying to give people a chance to experience something different and unique.
Do you have any other signature dishes on the menu?
Well, there's signature dishes that are existing in all sushi sambas, and then we have a percentage that we create ourselves, and we create the trend then for other restaurants of our group. For example, we have Wagyu Tataki, which is a mix of everything that you would like, the flavors that you would find in Peru and Brazil. You have, for example, the sea bass tempura, which comes with a ceviche of tomato. You have a foie gras ceviche as well, which is kind of unique. So there, we always try to put ingredients that people wouldn't expect, but they have to go well. It's not something that you just are adventurous with the name and then it doesn't have the flavor that you would expect.
Are people becoming more familiar with all of these terms, tataki, ceviche?
I think people are very curious, and I think the crowd in England and in London particularly are very interested in knowing and experiencing. So I think more and more people understand the terms.
We've got another Japanese ingredient here with us today. It's a sake that we're going to try together. It's a Yuzushu sake from the Tenzin Brewing Company. I think looking at this, what surprises me most of all is it doesn't look at all like sake. It looks like lemonade, perhaps, or limoncello even. It's a sake liqueur, which might surprise some people, that sake can be made into a liqueur. Let's give it a try. I think as soon as you sniff that, you get that really citrus flavour coming across, and this has yuzu as quite a strong flavour to it, doesn't it, which is a Japanese citrus.
Yuzu is definitely now a great exotic, I would say, fruit citrus that people more and chefs more nowadays apply to their food. It is very interesting flavour that you can obtain with cooking with it. Obviously, a sake for the Western culture with a flavor of yuzu is something that will go very well. Our culture, our Mediterranean culture and European culture, is a lot about the acidics. And I think this, as you said, for a dessert kind of goes very well. But I can see it going with many other things. Even, obviously, you usually don't have a liquor with the main course, but this would go very well with a grilled fish, for example.
I think for people who don't like sweet wines, perhaps this has a very sharp flavour to it. A very pleasant, almost palate cleansing flavour to it. Is this something you can imagine having at the end of the meal, maybe instead of a sorbet as that palate cleanser?
100%. sake is very versatile, and there's many sakes that can actually obtain that, and this definitely is one of those. Nowadays you have sakes that are sparkling, that have fruits into it, being nachi pear. Some of them have quince, like this one as well with the yuzu. So they are kind of substituting a lot of other liquors or spirits that you would have in the end of your meal.
Restaurants such as yours, of course, which have a very strong Japanese element to them, are playing a very large part in driving forward the popularity of sake in this country. Do you find your customers have any preconceptions about sake? Do they expect it to be served in a little ceramic pot and served warm?
I think in the end of the day, it's our job in this industry to educate people and make people understand the importance of trying something that is new to us, but it's been in history of other countries for so long. And we have a big role in making people understand more and more about sake, and making people understand that sake might be a very good substitute for what people usually have with their meal, being it wine, being even a cocktail. And sake, in the end of the day, as I said, throughout history, it became a drink that if the Japanese and a big population have it, it's because there's probably something into it. And the more you explore the sake, the more interesting facts you find about it. It's just putting it out there for people to know and understand it better.
Are your customers fairly open to being educated about sake?
Yes, we have even every month Sushi Sake 101, which we try to pass really good knowledge about sake.
That, I think, is a food and sake matching class, isn't it?
Yes. So what we try to do is kind of make people understand that wine is not the only thing that you can match with your food, and sake can enhance so many things in your dishes, being it making it feel more spicy, bringing the smokiness, bringing the citrus together, the flavor profile of a dish getting stronger. And even for me personally, I think sake to mix with certain foods and having an extended meal is more profitable for your experience, in sense of not creating a dryness in your mouth and kind of closing your palate to the flavors that you're looking for in a long course meal.
Are those classes things that you get involved with yourself?
I do every single class, yes.
You must be a good teacher.
I am a good teacher.
Do any preconceptions about sake that people need to put out of their mind? I mean, this one, for instance, you think of sake as a rice wine, and I can't taste any rice in this at all. We get those really vibrant citrus flavors coming through.
There is some misconceptions, but you know, in the end of the day, if we explain well how it's produced, what it's all about, it's all about people opening their mind to something new. And obviously the population nowadays is more about trying and understanding. So I think there will always be to something new. People will always try to find something that is wrong. But if you can explain to them well what it's all about, people will try and understand.
What about alcohol content? Is that another concern for people, that they maybe think that sake is much stronger than wine?
And kind of is very wrong. People always think that it's super alcoholic, but most of the sake, some of them are a little bit more alcoholic than wine, but most of them, the percentage over wine is not that much. It's not even considered a spirit. It's still in the range of, could be not a fortified wine, but in the wine section.
Yuzu is an ingredient that's very common in Japanese food. Can you imagine this matching some savoury dishes earlier in the meal?
Yes, for sure.
Is there anything from your own menu that you can imagine this being a good match for?
For sure. Like, for example, a pork belly, which is kind of fat and strong and heavy, I would say. This will go very well because it kind of continues cleaning your palate from that fatness. Even, for example, a black cod that is grilled in the Robata, quite smoky and as well sweet at the same time because it has miso, it will enhance the miso and the fresh flavors of the fish. A taquito, a tiradito, like raw fish, will go well with this. Even sushi, I can risk to say that a nigiri would go well with a yuzu flavored sake.
Do you manage to find time in your very busy schedule to try other Japanese restaurants in London?
I like to go out and try food. That's really my thing. In London, there's, depending on what I'm looking for, but if I'm looking for something more traditional, I'll definitely go to Humo. I don't go to takeaway sushis. Not because I have something against it. I just don't think it really gives you the experience of having an amazing sushi, or the experience that you expect to have when you sit down and you appreciate what's being done in front of you.
What about any favourite local restaurants? You live in Brick Lane in East London, which is, of course, famous for its curry culture.
Well, I don't go for a curry place. I go to see a friend of mine that his restaurant is 5 minutes away from where I live, which is Taberna do Mercado, Nuno Mendes. So actually, I'm going there today to see him after work. But that's a place that I would go. Like, locally, it would be a place that definitely it's close and the food is Portuguese, so I feel a little bit as I was home.
How about if you had something to celebrate, where would you go for that?
My celebration place in London is definitely Farah at Claridge's.
The Simon Rogan restaurant.
Yes, that's the place to go.
Have you had any meals abroad recently that have really blown you away?
New York, there's always something happening, being at, for example, Blue Hill, at Stone Barn, being at Nomad, South Africa as well. The Test Kitchen was quite great. Going again to New York, 11 Madison Park is always one of the top favorites. I really appreciate when food is put together in a good sense and with good thought and respecting the planet and the elements. So those places kind of put that together nicely.
As a chef, are environmental concerns important to you?
100%. At Sushi Samba, for example, we recycle, all our fish is sustainable. We try to work with local farms and organic farms. Obviously, we don't promote that because I believe as a chef, you have to be conscious of what is your role. So you should do that without promoting it. You just have to do it.
And back to travel, is there one country that would be, above all others, your favorite food destination?
Portugal will still always be a place that I love to go for food. First of all, because I know what to expect, I know where to go, and I have great friends with great restaurants. But New York is a place that surprises me quite often, and the evolution there has been great throughout the years.
Would you ever be tempted to try and bring Portuguese cooking and flavours to the United Kingdom?
I think more and more, and I usually say this, in the next 3-4 years, it will be if the Portuguese culture does some marketing around the ingredients, it can be one of the new potential cuisines that people will be looking at.
So next big thing will be Portuguese cooking.
Let's say, I don't want to bet on that, but I would like that to happen.
You heard it here first. Well, I'm glad you've been here today to come in and see us. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Claudio. Thank you for joining us.
Likewise. Thank you so much for the invite. Thank you.
My Taste with Tenzan Sake Brewery Company. Quality Japanese sake. Hear the complete program and find out more about Tenzan Sake at jazzfm.com/bibendumwine.